Welcome back. Welcome back. This is episode 5 of True Perspective, New Believers Bible Study. And I'm Anthony. I'm a bold believer in Jesus, not ashamed of the gospel. Go ahead, Brother Jacob, set the stage and just let him know what's going on.
All right, guys. Yeah, we were so excited to get back into John chapter 3. Again, just so much to cover. We have a little bit limited time here recording. We decided just to get right back into it and open it up here. We, for those following along in their Bibles, we're on John chapter 3, verse 9. So we're just going to dive right back into it, guys. The Word of God is what we want to get into, and it's good enough for us, right? So
Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, right? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And he's asking him these questions, and Jesus is answering them, like, hey, you got to be born from above, born again, you know? And let's just dive deep. Go ahead. Verse 9. Somebody who's
Nick, you want to pick it up?
Yeah, I got it.
Or you know what? Actually, really quick, just to kind of further set the stage, like Anthony was saying, Nicodemus already came to Jesus by night. Jesus is telling him, you need to be born again. The first time is your natural birth. The second time is a spiritual birth that you can't see. But I know Nick has something to read on Nicodemus a little bit here from his study
Bible. Oh, you want me
Bible.
To go into that?
Yeah, you want to do it now? Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, in this study Bible that I got, and this is kind of what's kind of cool about it, and what we recommended people that are new to jump into something like this, get one. This is the Life Application Bible. There's a lot of them that are like it, but it gives a little history on Nicodemus. Basically, it says that God specializes in finding and changing people we consider out of reach. It took a while for Nicodemus to come out of the dark, but God was patient with his undercover believer. Afraid of being discovered, Nicodemus made an appointment to see Jesus at night. Daylight conversations between Pharisees and Jesus tended to be antagonistic. So I guess antagonizing, mm-hmm. right? But Nicodemus really wanted to learn. He probably got a lot more than he expected, a challenge to a new life. We know very little about Nicodemus, but what we do know is he left that evening's encounter a changed man. He came away with a whole new understanding, both God and himself. And then Nicodemus, it just says Nicodemus appears in the story as part of a Jewish high council in John 7:50. As a group discussed ways to eliminate Jesus, Nicodemus raised the question of justice. Although his objection was overruled, he had spoken up. He had begun to make his faith public. Mm-hmm. And our last picture of Nicodemus shows him joining Joseph of
Arimathea.
Arimathea. I'm new. I apologize, guys. that was a tongue twister.
You're not the only one.
In asking Jesus' body in order to provide for its burial. Realizing what he's risking, Nicodemus was making a bold move. He continued to grow. He was continuing to grow. God wanted to continually grow our faith. He isn't looking for instant perfection. How well have you continued to grow spiritually in good times and bad? And that's kind of where some of the insights that these study Bibles have, they kind of give you, you know, what the purpose of some of these characters that are in the Bible that aren't maybe necessarily you know, Christians or the apostles or, well, there's no Christians at the time, right? But just a little history, that's all.
No, that's good.
There's more in there too, but I just don't want to take up a whole lot of time. I think it would just be wise if you guys dug in for
yourself.
We'll drop
a link.
Yeah, we'll take a picture of this, and I'll put the Bible on the, it's an NIV, but thank you.
All right, let's get into verse 9, John 3, verse 9.
All right, so Nicodemus, John 3, 9. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said, and you do not understand these things? I very truly tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you did not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? You want to stop there?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
So verse 10, you know, we talked about, I think in one of the previous episodes, how an open rebuke is better than, you know, flattery. Look at Jesus right there. Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Right? Kind of rebuked him a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, how don't you know this stuff? And then
after he just said, we know, you know what
right?
I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, Jesus will definitely show you the reality of your situation, right? When you come to him,
the truth.
Then, yeah. He'll tell you the truth. Verse 11, which I thought was pretty cool. Because Jesus says that, you know, he didn't receive testimony of man, right? But he says, our witness, right? So he said, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak that what we know and testify what we have seen. and you do not receive our witness. So who is this we and who is this are that he's talking about?
That's the whole, I believe it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you know, Father, the Trinity. Son,
Holy Spirit, exactly.
Yeah. I got that too, so that was kind of neat. Yeah. Even as a new believer, Jesus, the way he talks, it's pretty, even though it's kind of cryptic, you know. Because it's in you. Yeah. It's in you. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. You know, because you know what he's talking about is good. Like mm-hmm. it's, and so you could just kind of just attach those two things together, the Lord and good and love, you know. That's how I see it.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was cool because, I mean, at this point, none of the disciples are really going out there and proclaiming their faith, right? He hasn't sent them out yet, but mm-hmm. he's saying we, our testimony, our witness. Ooh, and so he's talking about God the Father himself and the Holy Spirit, who's all bearing witness that he is who he says he is, you know. And then verse 12, again, you know, really just kind of rebuking him, right? And saying, I've told you earthly things and you don't know it and believe it, how are you going to believe the heavenly things that I tell you?
Yeah.
Right. And again, goes back to that word belief. It's such a huge part, right? In everything that we do.
Yeah, for sure.
With Christ.
But I think it's a natural instinct for us, man, that the way we think, you know, it's so hard for someone to convince us about something. And we know about Jesus since we were young.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And we've got the Bible to read, you know, he didn't. At that point in time,
he had the Old Testament, which was pointing to Jesus. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he had seen some of the miracles he had did already or not.
Well, he said, right? We know.
We've seen the signs. Yeah.
You know,
but it's logic. They've seen it.
And they still had a hard time. And I think that was most frustrating with Jesus said, I just showed you.
Yeah.
And you still don't understand.
That's what I tell people all the time when they see me, I tell them, now do you believe? Yeah. Now do you believe?
You know what's kind of cool about it too is it being that Nicodemus is high up there, it just shows you that there's no person that God can't touch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? You just have to introduce him to Jesus.
That's it.
You know what I mean? So like that's what made Nicodemus change. You know, he got to see.
He believed.
Well, right here, I think, and it was a good point when you had said, there's a difference between like a logical knowledge of Jesus and then like a personal knowledge and belief, right? That he is who he says he is and he's alive today and he's your savior, right?
Yes.
It's not just knowing about him, but it's knowing him personally. So I think that's a big difference there. So,
but also too, on the logic side, it helps a lot of people with those kind of brains. Put the truth together. Like, hey, okay, it makes sense. I could stamp on that.
Yeah, the Bible is going to make sense.
You know it makes sense, right? Logically too. Once you see the logic in it, it opens up. Like for me, especially. Yeah,
it's not just some nonfiction book or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's not a science fiction book. You know, it's real. It makes sense. It's supernatural. Yeah. It's spiritual. But it's real, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what's cool about it, too, is like, you know, first of all, it's all from God, right? So even the faith that we do have, God gives that to us.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not like he doesn't leave you there. So, like, I remember coming to faith, and then, you know, you're taught one way in school about evolution and all this stuff. But then you come to realize, like, there's so much science pointing to a created earth, right? And created all of creation, right? And so it's like he doesn't leave you there. So you come by faith. But then you start to put together, like, man, the Bible, there are so many prophecies that came true. They're discovering new archaeological facts that, you know, point to the Bible's authenticity.
Yeah.
It's like he doesn't leave you in that spot. He actually grows your faith and you learn more and you're like, man, this stuff is true.
He's sanctifying you.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, characters in a book.
Yeah,
this is real people.
Yeah.
You know, this stuff really happened.
So even then, too, like, you know, Jesus even uses logic against Nicodemus. He uses his own words in ways too, and you know, for like on this one, maybe it's not his words, but he's challenging him. Hey, if you don't believe what I'm telling you right here, how the heck are you going to believe me about something that is magnificent?
Yeah,
it's because I think what he's telling him is, hey, you need to open your heart.
Yeah, you know Nick, don't hit the table. Just so everybody's is filled in. I got reprimanded for tapping the table when I'm making points. So. Make sure we're not talking about the table.
Domino.
You could do a swipe.
No, swiping's approved. No tapping. No,
but, you know, where he kind of challenges them there, right? With, you know, how are you, if you don't believe me in the things that you actually can see, how are you going to, and that's why he brings up the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the verse before,
like that just connected. Like I just made those two connections between that verse and then, you know, verse 6, you know, and 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that believe, it's like, it's an action verb. You know what I mean, it's going to turn into trust. It's going to turn into faith, you know, and it just, because the Holy Spirit, he's at work, just working in us. You know what I mean? You know, and it's not, we don't work for our salvation. You know what I mean? It's a free gift. So you don't got to worry about things. That the Holy Spirit, once you get in the Word, the Holy Spirit's going to be at work. You don't have to do nothing. Just let him work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that belief, like I said, it's going to turn into trust and it's going to turn into faith, man.
Yeah.
And that's all we do. And because it's not a make pretend belief. No, it's doing something. It's like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's setting us apart. It's growing.
Yeah. And I think one thing that people have to understand that the Holy Spirit is in each one of us.
Yes.
Right. And a lot of people don't understand, because I know I didn't get it until like a year and a half ago when I was starting to get into really becoming a believer. You know, it's like, what? The Holy Spirit's in me?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The same one that's in all the apostles.
Yeah. Right? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling among us, man. It's camping out in us. It pitches a tent in us, you know? Yeah. We're his body. We're his temple.
Amen. We have to surrender to it.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
That's us men, right? The pride that we have. What? I got to surrender? What?
Yeah.
You tell someone to surrender, it just sounds so...
When are you a cop?
Submissive. <Yeah. laughs> Surrendering sounds so submissive.
Yeah.
And I think, too, for like the newer believers, you know, a lot of times when you do fall into sin, you know, you'll start to think like, man, maybe I'm not really saved. You know, I did this, I did that. Do I really have the Holy Spirit if I'm, you know, still sinning like this? But I would say the fact that you even feel guilt about that points to the fact that you're a new creation, that you have Jesus in you and the Spirit
convicted.
In you.
That just tells you the moral law is real.
Yeah.
If you feel it without it, it's in you without even being taught.
Yeah. Right?
We all know good and bad. No one has to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why we know that the Spirit's, we have to give it birth. Yeah. We know it's there. We have to actually acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Walk in the Spirit. Yeah. Do you want to try to read, Brother Anthony?
You want to read verse 13? Let me get my
grasp. Verse 13.
Hold on, let me see.
I mean, I can keep going if you guys want me to. It's up to you.
Let me try.
Okay.
Verse 13. No one has what is that?
Ascended.
No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must be the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15. So that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. You want to stop right there?
Stop right there, yeah.
Yeah.
Verse 14, how he's saying, as Moses lifted up the serpent, right? So you can go, I think it's in Numbers 21, I believe. But you read where the Israelites who were coming out of bondage, they left Egypt and they were complaining and seeing all these miracles, right? They walked through the Red Sea and they were complaining against Moses and the Lord. So the Lord has sent serpents, poisonous snakes, right? And Moses interceded for the people and built a bronze serpent and lifted it up. And he's referring back to the Old Testament because Nicodemus is a Pharisee. So he knows the Old Testament. He knows the scriptures. So he's saying, as Moses lifted up the serpent and the snake, or the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, pointing to his crucifixion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, he's telling them, man, you know. Yeah. You come to me and say, you know. You know what I mean? And you have the scripts. You know what I mean? Like, so he's referring back to the Old Testament. Jesus is there. You know?
Right. That's exactly it. Yeah. He's pointing, showing him. Like that, what that was foreshadowing. So again, Israelites, after they came out of Egypt, they were complaining against the Lord. He sent some snakes to bite them with venom. They started dying and stuff. And then he told Moses, right, to make the bronze serpent, lift it up, and look at that, and you'll be healed.
Yeah.
That was pointing to Jesus, because Jesus was, he became our sin, right? And all we have to do is look upon him with faith, and now we're healed from that. So it was a picture of that. And that's what he's telling Nicodemus here, telling him, you know, back then, that Old Testament, what it was written there was pointing to me. And I don't think he still got it all the way now, but it's just these seeds that he's planting to get his mind to realize this is the Messiah that the Old Testament is talking about.
Yeah. And that's what the whole New Testament is about. It's pointing and referring to the Old Testament. Like Jesus is who he says he is. You know what I mean, mm-hmm. either he's a lunatic or he is who he says he is. You know what I mean,
yeah.
either you believe in the resurrection or you don't. You know,
that's a good. Well, yeah. So we were doing a Bible study at my mom's house, and that's something that his house. That's something that we were talking about. Is one of our uncle, I guess, through more like a friend, but we call him uncle. He was saying, I see the Pharisees' point. If some guy came out here today and was saying he was Jesus and started doing all these crazy things, I don't know if I'd necessarily believe him. And I said, well, that's a good point. I mean, yeah, you can't just go off signs and wonders, right? But the proof is that everything that he did was written in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So now you're seeing that he's fulfilling God's word, yeah. right? It's about God's word. And in addition to these miracles that he's doing, so you can see he's not some, you know, wacko.
Yeah.
He's who he says he is.
The proof is in the pudding, as Brother Ben always says.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was so great. Like, yeah, the Bible, he did all these signs. When he healed the lame, he healed the blind. You know what I mean? That's great. But what's the main thing that we pull away? Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of mm-hmm. sins. You know what I mean? Crucified mm-hmm. for the forgiveness of sins. And the signs and the wonders is just pointing to who he says he is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And as believers, when we walk by the Spirit and we go, I was talking to the brother last night, you know, these signs and wonders are going to follow those who believe. But, you know, like, is that the main point, you know? Like, mm-hmm. just share the gospel. We're called to witness the gospel. Right. The gospel is going to change people's hearts. Because right. I'm not.
Exactly.
I'm just a tool. But Jesus yeah. is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. We can't just go off signs and wonders. We got to go to God's word, because even yeah. the devil could do signs and wonders,
Amen.
Right?
Amen, amen, yeah.
When Moses turned his staff into a snake, the king had his mystics, right, turn yeah. their staffs into snakes too. Yeah. The difference is Moses' snake ate theirs, you know, so God was showing I'm still in charge here. But
yeah, exactly.
We're not going to say that, you know, these other demonic forces out there, they have power too, you mm-hmm. know. So that's why you got to stick to God's word.
Yeah, you got to exactly. stick to the word.
Stay in the book.
Stay in the book.
It's yeah. important I, as a new believer too, because you don't want to be taught wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. And the hard part is, because we do put our faith in man, mm-hmm. it's difficult as a new believer sometimes to know who to trust.
Right.
You know, because everybody, it's hard to just, you kind of want to trust any, like the people that you go to church with.
Can't.
But that's why you have to be in the book. So
yeah,
that
you have
like,
to be.
You can't go to heaven and be like, well, Anthony told me.
Yeah. Right?
And then God's going to be like,
Did you check it out for yourself?
Anthony's wrong too.
Yeah, right? I mean.
And you've been following him. If you would have just stayed in my word, you would have known that.
Yeah.
Or just acknowledge, hey, I don't care about Anthony.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the thing too. Jesus warned us in the last days that there's going to be false teachers, false apostles, all these things, right? And so like one thing I'm really grateful for is my dad, Jesse, when we used to go to churches that we'd visit, he would always have his Bible and just say, I'm making sure what they're teaching, even if they're quoting correct. The verse, yeah. that it's actually what it says. And if it wasn't, we would leave. We would just get up right there and leave if they were teaching something different than what the Bible said.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a good admonishment for the new believers out there. Read for yourself. Make sure it's legit. You know, don't just put your faith in a man who's telling you all these things and you have no idea if that's what the Bible says. You might be being led, you know, down a path you don't want to go down.
The yeah. blind leading so, the right. blind.
And if somebody who's truly in the word, like a pastor,
yeah.
who's going to, if you challenge him with what they're speaking about because of what you read,
yeah,
they love that. Well, a good pastor,
right? Yeah.
Will love that challenge. You
yeah.
know, like Pastor Jose with mm-hmm. you, when you would question him on certain verses that he went over during church, mm-hmm. he got happy about it. You know, yeah. he wasn't taking offense to it. He got happy because he wanted to,
yeah.
yeah, let's talk about that. And so then they would discuss it to see,
yeah.
is it true?
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what mm-hmm. we're doing. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm wrong in any way, I'll sit down with you and go right. through the scripts. You know what I mean? Show me and I'll repent.
Right.
I'll think differently about it. You yeah. know what I mean? But you have to show me in scripture. I take scripture and like 2-3 scripts. You show me in context, and then I'll change the way I perceive it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, even Jesus says he rebukes his the I don't know if it was the disciples or just the Jewish people. Just talking about how like the non-believers have more discernment.
Yes.
He's telling us you can't just go along with what you hear from anybody. You got to exercise discernment for yourselves. Read the Bible. Make sure it's not, you know, It's not being false, because honestly, there's a lot of cults out there that will take the word of God, twist its context, and then create their own religion, Jehovah's Witness,
Mormons,
it's exactly what they do. But if you don't know your word, you might even fall into their lies.
Yeah, you're going to be deceived.